Merry Christmas from Jim and Charles on Ask the Pastor Now.
Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome. I'm Jim Simmons, your co-host for this very special Christmas edition of Ask the Pastor Now. Tonight, as always, we will read God's Word and find comfort and peace in the only valid source of peace that remains a constant. In addition, we have some very special Christmas guests with us sharing their Christmas memories. But first, here is the pastor of Ask the Pastor, author, teacher, speaker, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you so much, and a Merry Christmas to you as well. And certainly our holiday greetings to everyone who's listening tonight. Thankful that we can gather around at a time such as this to praise God, to worship together, and just to fellowship. It's a wonderful, wonderful time at Christmas to appreciate the Christmas story, the Christmas child. And once again, we are blessed and thankful for this opportunity to share from God's Word. By the way, before we go any further, Christmas time is about the birth of a baby, and for most of the program, we will be referring to the Christ child. However, I believe there is a new addition to your family, Grandfather Simmons. In fact, to paraphrase a well-known poem, 'twas three nights before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring except for a newborn. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that very soon a new grandchild would be there. So, Jim, please share what has been happening in your family, and then please open us in prayer so we can begin this very special evening the best of ways.
Well, thank you, Pastor, and thank you so much for this opportunity to brag on a young baby boy. As you know, Pastor Charles did the ceremony for my daughter's wedding. Her name is Jo, and his name is Seth. And last night at 7:30, they gave birth to little Lucas. I get this middle name, James Aldridge.
Very good.
And this is number two, with just celebrated in November the first year of Ava, my first grandbaby. And now I have a son. We've got a perfect balance. The four of them are doing fantastic. And I believe they get to come home bright and early in the morning. So what a great Christmas Eve is to have Lucas James join us tonight. Isn't that great?
That's marvelous. It really is.
All right. Well, I think we have something special to pray about tonight. Welcome, Lucas, and Heavenly Father. We gather tonight both to study your word and to give thanks and remember the many ways you have blessed us at Christmas time. Father, we ask for your clear direction in all that we say or do. Tonight, Lord, as every day and night, we want to give you our praise and our love. We understand, Father, that we're the only part of your creation that can love you back. What an honor. It is our desire that you would use this time to do business in our hearts and minds. Please, Lord, comfort our listeners. Remind them that they are not alone when they have you as Savior and as Lord. Throughout our land, may we humble ourselves, pray, and seek your face. Watch over those of us who are away from our families for various reasons, and especially those who are protecting us through our military service. We pray that the lost will come to know you as Savior and Lord, and that the saved yield their will to yours. God, please spare our nation. You know, Lord, our every hurt, our every need, and our every fear. May we be attentive and good listeners. May we not just hear the word, but put it to use in our daily lives. It's in the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, I love the idea of looking back and remembering special times, especially at Christmas. I look back with great fondness and remember one particular Christmas. As you know, and others have heard, I grew up the oldest of three boys, and we were just typical boys raised in the 50s and 60s. And I remember one Christmas, Pastor, I was so blessed to have a mom and dad that loved us equally. They didn't play favorites, although I always told my brothers I was the favorite. But one particular Christmas, this is just how wonderful my parents were. You know, it was about them giving us gifts, and it was about keeping happiness going and the boyhood. It was just a wonderful time. We felt so secure, but we woke up Christmas morning. I don't know if you remember this or you did this, Pastor, but back in those mm-hmm. days, you had pajamas with the feet in them. You know, the feet in them. You just had one, almost one piece. And so we came in, slid on the hardwood floors to find three bicycles with the plastic windshield that said police. And it's got, of course, a siren and a horn. All three of them neatly positioned in size. I think I must have had mm-hmm. the 24-inch, the 26-inch, and, you know, all of that. And then three cowboy hats, three boots, and three sets of gun and holsters. And I'll never forget, we later were wrestling. We had Dad on the ground. I had one arm. Tommy had one arm. And Donnie was on his chest. And Donnie got bucked off. And it made him mad. And he came around while we held Daddy down and didn't know this. And he took his boot heel and slammed it into my dad's face right between the eyes. And Dad came up off the floor. Tommy and I went rolling. And he said, I almost was knocked out. But then Donnie said, I'm sorry, Daddy, I'm sorry. And everything was forgiven. It was just a wonderful time how three boys just had the most fantastic Christmas because Mother loved us. And Daddy loved us, and Mom and Dad were together.
Pastor? Well, that's exciting. Tell me something, out of curiosity, were you the youngest or the oldest or somewhere in the middle?
I was the oldest.
Ah, okay.
Well, can't you tell by my wisdom?
Well, you see, I'm the youngest, and you see, it's which most people don't realize is children are a lot like automobiles.
Oh,
see, in Detroit, when they're making the cars, you know, the early models have a lot of, you know, problems, and then the last ones that roll off, they've been debugged completely.
Oh, yes,
so that makes me sort of the marquee of the family, says. I'm a discontinued model, but they have all the bugs out of it, so that's the interesting.
I was the prototype, There was much improvement came after me, yes. We
there
get
you
your
go.
Point, Pastor.
You subtle as always, don't you think?
Right.
Well, you know, I am so thankful that we are able to have this time and to realize Christmas Eve is here to, you know, many people are scattered around the community. For those who have spent this evening with us, you know, we're truly thankful for that. In fact, we're planning to currently rebroadcast on Christmas Day, so some will be joining us at that time. But what I really want to share is to let you know how welcome you are and to understand that we are thrilled that we can have this time with you of all the things that are going on at Christmas time, it's so important to realize that it is Christ. It is His time. We are celebrating His presence, mm-hmm. that special arrival of a birthday child. And in fact, during special times, you know, many people are drawn out to celebrities with all those crowds of people like that we see at Christmas time especially. But for myself, frankly, that doesn't impress me much. What impresses me are the people who know Christ and they choose to live for Him. They begin to act like it, not just an academic relationship. They're not just religious, but they know Christ as Savior and they've allowed Him to be Lord over their lives. You know, maybe the world doesn't jump up and follow them and maybe the paparazzi doesn't go after them. However, people of faith have something to say. Don't you agree, Jim?
Well, I'm so glad you said that, Pastor. You see, we have such a group of people that are like many of our listeners, people who face each day living their faith, doing their best to honor God, raising families, and celebrating Christmas over the years. In fact, Pastor, let's share some of the words and testimonies of these men and women we're able to spend time with recently when we asked them about their faith and their Christmas memories.
That sounds like a great idea to me. And you know, Christmas is about so much more than trees and Santa, malls, and internet shopping. It's not about stuff. It's about a relationship with the God who fulfilled a promise in a stable in a town called Bethlehem, where God took on human flesh, the first step to taking on our sin for our forgiveness. So why not start with finding out a bit about our guests and their relationship with Jesus Christ, not just the reason for the season, but the Son of God. Jim, what's that first gentleman we're going to hear from?
Well, we're going to hear from Dave Risler. He's going to tell us who he is and his relationship with Jesus Christ and a bit more.
Hello, I am Dave Risler. I am a business owner and a real estate investor. I am a longtime member of Second Baptist Church here in Houston. I have a wife and three daughters, and I like to serve the Lord in many different ways. I have two daughters married. We just had a marriage last month. And looking for houses right now. The girls are all have husbands and or boyfriends, so I'm looking forward to Christmas with all the family coming to our house. I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ in 1980. I had a blind date with a neighbor in the apartment complex, and we went out to dinner. So when we got back to the apartments, she asked me if she wanted to come in, if I wanted to come to her apartment and listen to her play the piano. And of course, I was thinking this would be a good way to get to know her quite well. And so she played several songs, including My Father's Eyes, that was made popular by Amy Grant back in the day. When she concluded, she brought out a couple of books. One was the Bible. One was from C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity, and we discussed the salvation message, and I came to know Jesus at that moment.
Was that a rather unusual date to talk about finishing it off on a great mark, to end up a born-again Christian as a result of the testimony and influence of the person he was dating on a first date, no less?
It's pretty unusual, I'll say that for sure, and I think that is to be cherished. And isn't he a fantastic guy? I mean, we cut up a lot, as you know, when we're answering the prayer line together, and he's just a wonderful, wonderful example of what Christianity has to offer.
It really is, and one of the exciting things is, as you heard there, he is quite a strong entrepreneur and investor, and sometimes people don't get a chance to meet people on that chapter of their life. Mm-hmm. In other words, we see them sometimes portrayed in the press as, you know, not being connected with just the average individual. And yet here's a man of great compassion. I know, for example, he's made mission trips at his own expense. He's been very compassionate and has a very tender heart for winning souls to Christ and reaching out and interceding and praying with individuals. So it's a wonderful thing to see the influence and the growth of a man once he turns his life over to Christ. In fact, one of the questions we posed to several of the people that we had a chance to speak with was, because again, Houston's a very international area, we asked the question, so you're meeting somebody who may not even have a frame of reference about Christ mm-hmm. or Christmas. So how would you introduce that to them?
I would say to them, as far as if you were needing to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would ask them, is there a time in their life where they've looked forward to the future and just had no clue what's going to happen next? And I would say that the advantage of becoming a Christian would be that you know that your destination is secure. If you're concerned about what's going to happen when you die, then I would suggest that as a Christian, we believe that Christ died for our sins and has gone ahead of us, and he's proved that by raising from the dead.
You know, I think that's true. I think we need to be very straightforward, but also allow people to realize there is a reason to have a peace. There is a reason mm-hmm. to have this sense of confidence and joy.
Yeah. Did you notice what he said? He used the word who is needing to know Christ. And I thought, wow, he nailed it. Until a person realizes the need for a Savior, I guess it would be hard to step out in faith. But I think he used that word most appropriately, don't you?
I really do. I mean, just once we begin to see our need and realize there's a void in our life that something needs to fill and we haven't been able to find it, suddenly we do find it in Christ. We do find that God can do amazing things. And, you know, it's interesting to me that one of the titles that Christ wears is Prince of Peace. And that certainly is true. I mean, you know, if you're troubled, if you're facing days with questions and you're feeling alone, understand there is a Prince of Peace who so loved you that he will change your life completely, totally. You know, I realize that, you know, it may seem like we're starting off a little bit heavy. I want to go a little lighter for just a moment. One of the questions we asked Dave, as we've asked some others, and I encourage our listeners to consider this for just a moment. What about your favorite Christmas movie? What would that be?
My favorite Christmas movie was several years ago. I had both of my knees replaced and had to spend the Christmas holidays on the couch and spent a lot of time in recovery, but I got to watch every Christmas Hallmark movie there was, and I get to know every one of them. When the bells are rung for the angels to come into the room, I know the cue when the angel comes in the room.
It's funny, isn't it, Pastor, when God slows us up, and like he said, he had both. That just kind of shows you how driven he must be. It took two knees to get him on that couch. And then when he did, what did he do? He didn't look at crazy movies that are available out there. He's listening to Hallmark, which I do also. There are some great wholesome, you hear that word?
Mm-hmm.
Wholesome family movies on the Hallmark channel. So, yeah, it caught my eye when he said that, or caught my ear.
I think the funny thing that caught my ear is he had just spoken about the fact of when the angels and, you know, ring the bell. And I was thinking, right at that moment in the background music that was playing, I noticed that there was a bell rung, so it couldn't have been cued that any better. So I thought that good timing. But, you know, Jim, yeah. What's your favorite Christmas music or Christmas movie? What comes to mind?
Well, you know, It's a Wonderful Life. I'm a big Jimmy Stewart fan. But and I think Frank Capra was the director, and he's done some others that I know I look tough on the outside, but I am marshmallow on the inside. And I think any time a Christian, and I would like to even use the word practicing Christian has an opportunity to see what would happen in that movie. It was what would happen. I wished I were dead, he said, and what would happen had he been dead? And he gets to see that. And I think it's a way, you know, I think it's a movie that jerks us back to reality. Can you imagine some of the things we've said that God would like to say, now, wait a minute, had you not been born, this wouldn't have happened. And they do these vignettes of events that, so that Christmas movie, had such a warm ending and such a great message. I love that, and that would go down as my favorite Christmas movie.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, for myself, it would be All the Scrooge. And I say All the Scrooge because there's been many different versions of it made, and I think I've seen just about every version of it that's been made.
Yeah.
And I usually have a lot of them actually on DVD, so I'll start like with the oldest one, Back in Time, which I believe for me is 1935, and then I move all the way up to the 1950s and keep coming forward. And one of the interesting things, I don't know if many people realize, that the original writer who wrote the story could not get any publisher to take it. So he eventually self-published and went around distributing copies, trying to get it sold in bookstores. But I think such a powerful story that has come through the ages. As you say, what would it be like? How have lives changed? The impact, the influence, once we open our hearts up to God to allow us to show more compassion, more understanding, is quite amazing the way that happens. You know, the last question we asked of Dave was this one. It says, what is your favorite way to spend Christmas?
Yeah.
I'd like to spend Christmas evening with my family. I believe that if I'm in my right mind, we would share the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke, and that we would all fellowship and share gifts and have a great time with the family.
You know, I think the next time we get with him, one of the questions we should ask him is, what are the Christmases like when he's not in his right mind? that might be a little curious.
Well, it's interesting he picked Dr. Luke, which I think you'll agree. This is a very learned man, and the detail in the book of Luke is superior, wouldn't you say, as far as detail, to any of the other Gospels. So I'm excited that he said Luke, because I couldn't agree more. And plus, I just finished the book of Luke this morning in my personal Bible study, so I'm very familiar with
very
that
good.
Right now.
And it's also interesting. It's the time of the birth of Christ is covered in Matthew, but he's already been born at the time we cover him in Matthew. But what's interesting is to view it from Luke, because as a doctor, he gives us a little more insight into what's going on for Mary and for the child, a greater degree perhaps of sensitivity to the issues of what's going on in the life of somebody from the perspective of a medical doctor. And so I tell you what, there's really the chapters in Luke that deal with this are really in two paragraphs. And the first paragraph has a couple of words that are hard to pronounce, so I naturally save that for you, Jim. The second paragraph is actually just a little longer, so I thought I'd bail you out on that at least. But why don't you read that first paragraph, and then I'll grab the second one. I think it'd do us good to share with our listeners the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2.
All right. And that looks to be through verse 8, right?
You'll take it 1 through 7.
1 through 7. Got it. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these sayings and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Powerful passage about the birth of the Christ. another one of the people we were blessed to have a chance to spend a little few moments with and find out about their relationship with Jesus Christ is Annette Spurlock. So let's listen to that now.
Hello, I'm Annette Spurlock. I would describe myself as someone who's very serious about my faith and someone who's very serious about what God's plan has, what he has for me. I'm from a large family, nine people in my family. I'm the youngest of the family, and so we're very much family-oriented, like to go do things together. Yes, I do know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I grew up in a household. We had ministers in my family as well, so. But only until then, my mother's passing, that I come to have a relationship with Jesus.
So once again, someone who has found the strength in their life through Jesus Christ, and interesting to have at the Christmas holidays, a large family as well. How about you, Jim? Yeah. Yours? I know you had the two other brothers. Is it generally, was there a lot of people coming in at Christmas time?
We used to have, Mom and Dad would just open their doors to people that they worked with. Everybody was invited. It was just an annual gathering. When we were kids, it was, I guess, just between some of the uncles and aunts, and you know, we'd do a little traveling on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. You know, I was listening to Annette, and she said she was the youngest, if I heard her correctly, of nine children. And you said you were the youngest, but did y'all have nine in your family?
No, actually, there were four official children, and then there were, of course, the extras that came along. They were always welcome in our home. And so it made for a special time. Just at evening time to see who all would be at the table to find out.
Right.
In fact, let's jump back to Annette for a moment and find about some of her funny memories about Christmas.
My funny memory of Christmas would be that we would wrap up our puppies, our animals, as a gift to ourselves.
That is
funny. And I've just been hoping, as I thought about that, that they meant like wrapped up in a blanket or something like that. Because, you know, air holes, the first thing that popped in my head, were there air holes in the box? I mean,
Yeah, how long did they stay under the tree? You know, are they fresh frozen? How do you deliver the puppy in a swaddling clothes?
That can be a challenge. But, you know, for me, one of the strong things about Christmas is music. Jim, you have a favorite song that just stirs Christmas memories?
Well, and it goes with a great song. I mean, a great movie. The song is, of course, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Bing Crosby.
Bing's back from the dead. That's pretty exciting. That's having him back with us tonight. Let's find out what Annette's favorite choice was.
Yes.
My favorite Christmas song would be O Holy Night, because it was quiet in our house. My mom would sing that to us, and so that's a favorite song.
Well, that is a good song. It's certainly drawing people back to the message of that very special night when the Christ child came. So very stirring, very powerful, certainly. And speaking of power, let's ask the question, as a lot of our listeners are experiencing tonight, favorite way to spend Christmas?
My ideal way to spend Christmas evening is with family, enjoying hot cocoa and talking about when we were little.
You know, Jim, I know we're nice people, and I realize that, you know, we gave all the support crew off tonight for Christmas time.
Yes.
So on the one hand, we're all praying that the technology works, but we should have left somebody back to at least to bring the hot cocoa, don't you think? I mean, that would have just
it would just go so well with this 80-degree Christmas weather we're having in Houston. Some hot cocoa just would hit the spot.
That's true. It just makes you appreciate the air conditioning that much more, don't you?
That, and I would just hate to spill it on my shorts or, my T-shirt in this balmy weather. But, I think she conjures up in my mind some of those Christmases I remember here in Houston mm-hmm. that were drizzly rain and freezing cold and just unbelievable when you'd pull into downtown Houston after dark and you'd see all of the lights and the glow through the windshield and all of that. So, no, I think hot cocoa more often than not would be absolutely appropriate this time of year, don't you?
I do. I think hot cocoa is nice. I have gone to a few places that had hot spiced tea. To be honest, mostly in Houston, somebody's going to bring you iced tea with lemon, but, you know, for Christmas. So,
right.
You know, just you don't really want to overtax the air conditioning on Christmas Day, but
no.
You do what you got to do in America's fourth largest city. You know, Michael Keith is another gentleman who has a real passion for Christ and for soul winning,
yes.
has a wonderful relationship with the Lord, and has an interesting story to share with us. This is, let me just introduce you to Michael Keith.
Yeah.
Hello, I am Michael Keith. Many times I just say I'm a Jesus boy, but I've been a Christian 40 years, and in that time I think God has taken me through so many average experiences and also death-defying experiences, and it's just made me kind of person that realizes that God is with me, just like the Bible says. I am a firstborn son of eight children. My father was a prosecutor, so we lived in a very disciplined household where we were actually petrified of Dad, but I think that God used that. It gave me a great respect for authority. And since I grew up in the 60s, I think that helped me through a time of terse rebellion in America, especially for the young generation. And so I think that people look at the childhood they come through and they want to be critical, but I can look back and I can see how God used every bit of it to make me a more sensitive person, make me more observant and more appreciative of all the good things that are available to us. It was in 1975 in the summer when I'd just come out of the Army. I'd seen a lot of the rest of the world and I was real discouraged and about life in general, and I know God was stirring my heart up because I started to pursue just radio and different churches and reading for myself, and in a short period of time it was easy to see that churches are saying all kinds of different things, but the Bible was real clear that Jesus came as God to offer his life as a sacrifice for us, and he took our judgment in our place. And And even though I knew that, because growing up in America, I mean, we rub shoulders with the issues and the ideas of Christianity. I mean, everybody knows about Jesus and dying on the cross and all that. But it was then that I knew that what I really needed was not just to know this knowledge, but I needed to have a conversation with God. And I remember where I was behind a hospital as construction worker, and I happened to be passing by a dumpster, and I leaned my hand on a dumpster and stopped because I knew I needed to talk to God. And I said, Lord, I understand that now that Jesus, not just that he died on the cross and took my place, but you promised anyone who would come to you through putting their faith, not in their good works, but in the one work that Jesus did on the cross, you promised that you would grant them your forgiveness. And so from that moment forward, I think, well, I know that's when I believed the gospel and the good news of Jesus. And that was, I sometimes say that I was at a place where it was trash normally, a big giant dumpster, you know, but I found the great treasure, if you will, the universe right there.
Wow.
Boy, pretty amazing.
He can say it. He made it very very concise, but I think he nailed it, Pastor. I think he did a fabulous job of explaining why we need Christ in our life.
Absolutely. Another interesting thing, too, people, if you heard him talking about his role in construction, which you might not realize, there's an awful lot of artistry to Michael's life. He does a lot of work with stone that is absolutely incredible, very beautiful work. And so you can really see a great analogy there, because here we have this man who got his turned around, and he's able to take rough stone and turn it into a thing of beauty, where somebody before only saw the rough stone. And look what God does in our lives. The world right. sees us with rough edges and not where sometimes we'd like to be. And yet he polishes us, sometimes through adversity, often through his word. And suddenly here is somebody that God can use. And he takes us when we felt so unworthy and gives us opportunities to be a witness, to touch lives for Christ. And so I love the analogies that Michael shares, the touch that he shares. One other thing that, you know, he speaks of in this next little clip about his favorite Christmas memory. And I think the ladies listening will be particularly touched, because I think Michael demonstrates the attitude that a husband really should have towards his wife, and yes. Does so amazingly, just simply describing his favorite Christmas memory.
Well, I mean, my sweet wife means so much to me. She's a gift from God. So I think our first Christmas together has to be it, because I had come to a place in my life where nothing had worked out. I didn't have a wife. I didn't have children. I didn't have a home. I mean, the things that everyone aspires to have. And there was a point in where I said honestly in my heart, without any spite, you know, I said, God, whatever you have for me is okay. I don't have to have all these dreams. And I pretty much put my dreams in his hand and let go of them. And it wasn't 6 months later that I met Linda. Going back to school, my career took off like crazy. I'm a stonemason by trade. And I think that when I had that first Christmas with Linda and saw how God had so blessed my life, and I knew that it was because I came to the point of letting go of my own dreams, or trying to accomplish them, if you will, in my own strength, and with sincerity and honesty. I didn't try to fake it with God. I said, I meant it, and without any spite, you know, whatever you have for me, God, it's all right. But to me, that was the most blessed Christmas, because I knew that I was looking around me and seeing how a God could, in his righteousness, he could squash me like a bug if he wanted to. But instead, I mean, he lifted me up, and I know it's because I came to the point of putting it all in his hands and not in my own.
Pastor, you've pointed out so many times that men are supposed to be the spiritual head of the household, according to the Bible. Mm-hmm. Not your opinion. You've always taken us back to the Bible. This man, I think, portrays exactly what God is speaking about. And I would just wonder, how does he top that for Valentine's Day? If all of us guys would talk about our wives that way, oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
What a treasure. I thought that was fabulous.
It really is true. I mean, we may have to make a point of getting him back for Valentine's Day, give some pointers. We'll have to definitely open up all the phone lines. We'll keep him busy, yeah, for sure. But, you know, it just wouldn't be right to have his side of the fence without also hearing his wife's perspective of it. So we invite Linda Keith to also share who she is and who she sees herself in Christ.
Hello, my name is Linda Keith. I describe myself as an average American citizen. I am a mom, a wife, a daughter, and a sister. I have a family that is big in both sides. I'm one of five children, and my husband is one of eight children. And so we come from, we've been very blessed to have such a large family, so family is very important to me. I do know that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and feel that it is an honor to be part of His family. I came to know Christ over time. I was born in a Christian family. I attended church on a regular basis, actually in a Catholic church. But once I met my husband, he introduced me to the Bible, and it was through the Bible that I got to come and know Jesus and know the true Savior.
Isn't that exciting? I like the fact that we've got somebody who came from church, but it's when they got to the Bible that the decision was made. I think that's pretty exciting. Don't you agree?
Yes. Well, and the testimony that she came to know Christ through her husband. Oh, mm-hmm. What a phenomenal testimony.
Do you also notice that we seem to have an awful lot of large families tonight? I hadn't really noticed that before. And as we're going through these, to realize that, you know, 9 children, 8 children, 4 children.
Right.
Seem like pretty big homes. I don't know. We also asked the question about, you know, we talked to Mike, but we also asked her the question, what about her favorite Christmas memory?
Yeah.
Favorite Christmas is a hard one because every Christmas is special because it is the celebration of Jesus Christ's birth. Yes, it is a time for family to come together and rejoice in celebration as well, but the ultimate promise of Christmas is knowing and loving our Savior, Jesus Christ.
You know, Pastor, when she was saying that, the first thing that leapt to mind was, if you ask me, Jim, what is your favorite Christmas memory? And I would start explaining about Christ. I would be searching for words so that I could be just perfect in my delivery so that hopefully that person would come to know Christ. You know what I noticed about Linda? She did
What's
it
that?
Without even blinking. She just said it from her heart, and it was so absolute. On target. And I thought it was just so natural where I'd be stuttering and stammering, hoping I was politically correct and all of that and not being offensive. No, Linda said, this is what it is and this is what I believe. She said it with such conviction and it was so natural. I believe that that was spoken from the heart.
One other thing that maybe our listeners tonight will find interesting, these impromptu interviews we did with these folks were exactly that, impromptu. Jim and I knew the questions. They didn't. And so they were very gracious, no scripting, just plopped them down there and hit them with some questions. And so think about that. How would you answer some of these yourselves as you listen tonight? What would your response be? And Linda, we asked the question we've asked before. Is you find this person, they're really not acquainted with what Christmas is. How do you explain Christmas?
First of all, if I met someone who was not familiar with Christmas or with Christ, the way that I would explain that to them is that if you ever open the Bible, it explains the whole history of who Jesus Christ is. And if people say, well, that's not real, and I have to say, the Bible has always existed. And it is through reading the Bible that you get to know Jesus Christ. And Christmas represents his birth. And that's, you know, why we celebrate. It's really the celebration of Jesus Christ.
Wow, spot on. You know, Pastor, I think one of these programs, we're going to have to go to people that aren't Christians and ask them about these things. What is your memory and, you know, your favorite? Because I think it's would be interesting to see and feel what it must be like not to have eternity already decided and your destiny already decided. So I think that would make an interesting program, but wouldn't you feel very sad for those people?
Well, I think if we did it, we'd probably wind up calling it a, not a comfortable night, because for the individual who has to decide how do I face life without the support of a loving Savior, that's challenging. But for the believer to hear that we maybe have not done enough communicating of the gospel yet, we haven't gotten it quite right yet, that, you know, that's going to be a big challenge for us as well. It might stir us to action to realize we still have some things to work on when it comes to communicating the truth of the gospel. Don't be so religious, Christians. Let's be more Christian. Jim, you mentioned your favorite song. Let's find out what Linda's is.
One that I hear quite often right now is Mary, Did You Know? Because when you sit to listen, it is such a beautiful ballad of music and singing, and there's so many different editions of it out there, but really, did Mary know when she was giving birth that she was giving birth to our Savior, that He was going to save nations, that He was going to save her as well?
Well, that's, you know, fresh on my mind because my daughter gave birth last night, and I thought, as I looked at this young infant, I thought, wonder what it's going to be like. I wonder what his world is going to be like, what he is going to experience, and what will he accomplish. And I think that song that she points out is absolutely, Mary, did you know? And gosh, what did she know? What did she feel? You know, and I think that song brings a lot of perspective from a different angle that we're not used to hearing.
That's true. And I think it's also important to look in a slightly different vein to how God really does use people we don't expect. Mark Lowry, here's this person with an incredible sense of humor, just bubbling over in every moment. And here he comes with this very solemn, poignant, powerful song in these softened tones about Mary, did you know? And it's just so heart-touching from a man who has such a high energy level full of laughter and can make us laugh, can also touch our hearts in such a way. So to me, that's the other thing about the song. I'm always touched, not just by the message of the song, but by the person who wrote the song, realizing how God can use people in such an amazing, incredible way. Right. Another individual that we are blessed to know and to have spent some time with was Larry Korkmaz. And so with great pleasure, as we've done now several times, let me introduce our audience to Larry Korkmaz.
Hello, I'm Larry Korkmaz. I'm a person approaching 70 years of age, and I'm glad for every year of it. I grew up in a family of a brother and a sister, mother and father, like a lot of people. And I married into a very fine family, which is also part of my family now. I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I met Him on a very personal basis in 1975. I grew up as a Catholic. I had been taught extensively about God and about Jesus Christ, but I came to know Jesus Christ through an encounter that I had, which when you reach low points in your life, when one of your best friends and mentors dies, you get terminated from a job, things look awfully grim, and you cry out to God, He hears you, He heals you, and He brings you out of that and makes you into a new person.
Pretty interesting. I found Larry surprising. I thought, boy, he doesn't look like he's ever suffered any bad times in his life, but he reminded me that we all do, Pastor. Is there any life that just is a bowl of cherries and nobody ever gets hurt? And Larry, with his smile and his gentleness, it just surprised me, I guess, to realize that this is a guy that also has had life experiences like us all.
Absolutely. A consummate professional. He just presents himself as a fine Christian gentleman. And then to realize he has gone through the fire. He knows what it's like to face those challenges. Mm-hmm. And then he comes and he brings his faith that he is complete in Christ. And just a wonderful thing to realize. We also asked him the question about his favorite Christmas.
My favorite Christmas was with my wife's family and all of the extended family, probably sometime in the early 80s. And it was a time when the family needed a lot of healing. There had been illnesses and all kinds of other things. And I was able to help in bringing a lot of things together. And it was just a good, happy Christmas with no arguments, no contention. Everybody just loving each other and having a great time.
Wow, loving each other. Isn't that interesting? You bring family together, isn't there always that one or two that's contentious and you think, oh, what's Uncle Bobby going to do today, you know? But it's amazing. He said, just loving each other. What a wonderful vision that brings.
We may have to wind up adding him to our list for Valentine's Day to bring back, you know. But,
yes.
You know, certainly Christmas time is a great time to bring the walls down, to let the healing begin. It's also interesting realizing professionally Larry is involved in conflict resolution and helping people who have only, you know, reached like that wall, that impasse, and he sits down with them and helps to bring calmness to the tension and helps them to resolve the issues. Interesting man. And all the people we've been able to bring and share with you tonight have brought something very special to the table.
Yes,
he's also, by the way, Larry is known for having particular points of view with regards to, as a statesman, what goes on in political realms. And so here's his funny Christmas memory.
Oh, there's been lots of funny Christmases. It's kind of a funny thing because I'm probably one of the more conservative people in the family, and they have always given me the right wing off of the turkey on my plate. And now it has become such an institution that nowhere, matter where I go, I get the right wing off the turkey.
Pastor, that's funny, but yes. Let me ask you a question. I don't recall anatomy that well. How do you know the left from the right wing of a turkey? Do you look at it face on or from the back? I need help. Which is the right wing?
Well, obviously Larry would be the man to ask since he's been exposed to many a right wing turkey. I didn't really think of it that way, but that's an interesting approach. But it's interesting the way people will work into the holidays, special connections to make things personal and special.
Right.
And so, an amazing way. We also asked Larry the question, how would you present Christmas? How would you explain what are people doing at this time of year, again, to that person who this is new? This is not something that they had where they came from.
I would explain that Christmas is about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I would also explain to them that all these things that you see, all these decorations and all these other things, are part of a celebration, but the real knowledge of Jesus Christ is in your heart. It's not what you see in the form of baubles or colors or anything like that. It is what it does inside your heart and how it changes you. Because if you don't know Him, then none of this other stuff matters at all.
You know, Pastor, I think he made a classic a point there, that it's not about getting and gifting and all of that commercial stuff. It's about your heart. And I think, you know, to love God and to have Him love us. And I just remember the perfect gift. It expresses the character of the giver, and then it meets the need of the recipient, and that is Jesus Christ. And that the birth of Jesus Christ is God with all... Can you imagine His ability to shop? God could go anywhere, heaven, on earth, or anywhere, looking for the perfect gift for Jim, for Pastor Charles, for any of us. And what did He find and what did He give?
The Redeemer. Who could ask for better than that, right?
Perfect gift.
Absolutely. Larry also shared with his way to... his favorite way to celebrate Christmas time.
My favorite way to celebrate Christmas evening is to be with relatives and friends that I love, and in particular those who love Jesus Christ. I think that everyone should do their dead level best at Christmas time to be at peace with everyone around them. No animus between anyone, no anger, love. This is supposed to be a time of joy, and I would love to see everyone, I sincerely mean this, I'd love to see everyone at peace with everyone else and have a good time, skip the family arguments, look at the good things, talk about the people that we don't have with us anymore. I'll remember those good times, especially when you're a kid and all these other things, but that's what Christmas is about. Christmas is bringing us together. It is about joy. It's about peace. It's about how we live with each other. And we should keep that going all year long. It shouldn't just stop at Christmas, when Christmas is over.
What could you add to that, Pastor? I want to go to Larry's house for Christmas. What could you add to that, Pastor? I would just love to go to Larry's house for Christmas. Is he crowded out this Christmas? He used a word, Pastor, that is so fascinating for me and maybe you too. He used the word love, you know, to love people. And you know, we were raised on John Wayne. We're tough guys. We don't express love. We don't talk about love. He said it without even quivering, you know.
Yes.
Interesting.
I think people need to realize part of being a Christian man is being a man, having the nerve, the guts, the backbone to stand up and says, this is what God says. And that includes love, because God is a God of love and passion and strength. And godly women can appreciate a godly man. And I think the world is looking for some people of character who will stand up for their faith. And maybe some of our listeners, maybe some of our first-time listeners are asking the question, why these people? How'd you pick these folks? Well, they came to us with different backgrounds. They came to us with different skills. You know, they found God in different places, but it was the same plan that brought them. And they shared Jesus with different people, and yet the same message. It's good to remember that wherever you are, who you are, where you come from, Jesus can save you and he can live in your life. Jesus can give you a future of memories to come that are absolutely blessed. And if you somehow think that, you know, maybe you're alone this Christmas, understand something. You don't have to be. Even if there's not people around you, you have Jesus Christ available to you as Lord and Savior and Comforter. That, to me, has always been one of the strong words, the Comforter. To realize that the very Spirit of God will indwell you, that the Heavenly Father is there and loves us, so loves us. That's the description he uses. Understand at Christmas time, like no other, that we can turn to him as Savior and Lord. Jesus came, God came, and sent his Son for us in a manger. He goes to a cross and he sacrifices everything for us, but rises again with victory over death. And he is our Lord and our Savior, and he's available to you. We have all the details for you. You can go to our website, get that information. We're not charging. Go to the Plan of Salvation. Find out how you can know more and make this the most special Christmas you've ever had. Also, you know, we had a chance in the past hour to share little sound bites from these kind folks that were willing to share a little of their history and their Christmas with us. I just want to let you know we have the full interviews that we did available on YouTube. There is a link below if you're on Blog Talk Radio seeing this program or listening. And you look down there and you can see a place where you can come and visit our YouTube channel and see more of the guests. So if that's something you'd like to have just a little bit more, that's the way to do it, and see their smiling faces as well. Jim, your closing thoughts.
Well, Pastor, I think it's just on the same website you can also find Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. That'll be on our website. If you're listening and you don't know Jesus Christ and you want to know, that scripture, those two verses, tell you how to be saved, among others. Pastor?
And always remember, those are the words that God has given us, the plan of salvation. That's not a Jim and Charles. That's God's plan.
Right.
So please, we trust that you have had a wonderful Christmas, that you will join us again next Thursday evening at 7:30 Central Time on Blog Talk Radio. And join us for Ask the Pastor Now. Good night, Jim, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Pastor. Thank you for teaching us.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. we will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.